Well, when celebrity chef Pete Evans coined the phrase activated almonds, it may have started a frenzy of sarcasm on social media, but it also spoke to our modern obsession with food, its health benefits, its anti-aging properties, and ultimately the way it's produced. Take organic food. It's one of the fastest growing markets in Australia, worth an estimated $1.76 billion each year. But where there's money, there's crime, and at least one of the organic certifying agencies is cracking down on fraudulent use of its label. Over the next 2 weeks, A Country Breakfast will ask, just what's in a name? Are you getting what you expect when you buy organic, free-range, grass-fed or biodynamic? In the first of our special series on labelling, Serena Locke looks at organics.
Yeah, I do buy organic food, and I think I just love the feeling that it gives me afterwards. You know, you buy something really good, you know it's healthy for you, you know it doesn't have any chemicals or other ingredients that you don't really want in it.
That's what's dubbed the halo effect among consumers. It's despite the very low risk of chemical residue in conventional food. Demand for organics is growing at up to 35% a year. Consumer group Choice says we're swept along believing organic encompasses much more, like animal welfare or free range. It is both organic and free range here.
I think I just love the peace and quiet out here and the beautiful cattle. It's probably my favourite thing, checking the cows and calves.
Peter Clinch at Oaks Organics has Hereford cattle and free-range organic eggs and chicken, just an hour away from Sydney, where he sells at the Leichhardt Market. 30 years ago, the Clinches used chemicals, but one day that changed.
I used to spray blackberry and lantana and then come home with poison on my raincoat and so on, and it was, I believe, affecting my wife's health and my children's health. I used to put poron poisons on the backs of cattle to rid them of worms and ticks and lice and so on. I didn't really like doing that, and remember reading on one of the tins, you know, if you get any of this poison on you, wash it off straight away. And I thought, if it's so bad to be on humans, then why am I putting it on cattle? We're about to have a look at some young chickens. It's warm enough to let the oldest of them out. Five and a day old chicks, cost me about $1.10 each.
You raise them for how long?
Up to 9 weeks, preferably, but sometimes they stay a little longer. Non-organic chickens put on a bit more weight. I think they usually go out at about 6.5 weeks.
Organic chicken can take 50% longer to raise, so the Clinches charge three times the price of non-organic breast meat.
Chickens are dearer. For instance, the chicken breast is $32 a kilo.
That's considerably more, yeah. I mean, $10 a kilo is about what you'd pay in a supermarket breast of chicken.
Yes, and the whole chickens are $14 a kilo. So that's quite a lot more than conventional whole chicken.
Converting to organic usually takes a farm 3 years, certifying through any of six organisations. Given the rising costs of chicken feed, Oaks was under pressure, so switched certifiers from Australian Organics to Ausqual. Peter Clinch.
We're only paying $1,200 this year. Previously we were paying $6,000. We decided that $6,000 was way beyond our ability to pay. So we had to change things a little bit. We no longer pay for the certification of the two abattoirs that we use, and we no longer pay for the butcher that we use to cut up our meat. This doesn't change the quality of our products. It simply means that our organic packets are from certified organic animals.
Australian Organic Limited has the stamp of the spiral bud with an emerging leaf. There's an onerous 100-page application form and regular audits. Dr. Andrew Monk of Australian Organics makes no apologies for the cost of certification.
The key thing is, though, it's all about integrity management and the trust of the consumers. We would never, ever let our program, our label on an end product, if we didn't know for sure that the entire chain was audited and assessed, and often tested.
And does it need to be audited every year at such huge expense? Because the costs can blow out if you're auditing the entire supply chain to, you know, many thousands of dollars for
your
banking.
Well, in actual fact, it's more than once a year, believe it or not. There's some operations, particularly the bigger operations, sometimes require more than that, particularly if there's high risk involved. They require so-called unannounced audits, and I think this is another really great unique aspect of the organic program, again, maintaining integrity, that an auditor or inspector can turn up any time at farm or at the processing level and say, I'm here to do a spot check.
Organic group NASA is cracking down on fraudulent use of its label, winning a federal court case in July against Victorian Kings Court Vineyards. Ben Copeman of NASA says he's also pursuing a wholesaler who supplies Perth and Adelaide markets.
In any business where there's perceived to be money, you'll always get someone who wants to push the boundaries. Luckily, the industry is very, very self-regulating. In fact, we wouldn't have picked up Kings Court Vineyard if it hadn't been for the observation of an operator in Sydney who just noticed something wrong with one of the signatures on it, and that was the only thing he picked up, and he rang me to see whether the signature was valid, and it turned out that it wasn't, and that's how he picked up that piece, that fraudulent activity.
So, and how much were they fined?
Well, they haven't been found anything. They don't have the money. It was putting good money after bad money, but we have pursued them for the maximum costs, and we are also looking at pursuing them for damages.
The majority of Australians aren't looking for a certified label, so we're paying a significant premium on good faith. Peter Clinch's Oaks Organics is certified, but he says his customers at Leichhardt Market trust his product even without the label.
I really enjoy going to the farmers market too at Leichhardt, where a lot of my customers tell me how much they enjoy my produce. It's very satisfying and encouraging.
Yeah, I feel cleaner when I'm eating organic food. I feel like I'm doing the right thing to my body and stuff, yeah.
Are you aware that it costs more? Are you prepared to pay that?
Yeah, I am. I don't know how much more expensive it is, but I can also tell by it. So, for example, I buy grass-fed or grain-fed meat, and I can just tell by the colour that it's just nicer. So, yeah, I'm prepared to pay more for it, yeah.
Consumers there at an organic cafe, ending Serena Locke's report. Now, if you're a devotee of the paleo diet, then you've probably been searching the supermarket shelves or your local butcher for grass-fed beef. That's one of the key parts of the diet, but grass-fed also fetches a higher price and is claimed to be healthier for you. It's also more costly for farmers to produce and harder to get consistent quality and supply. Kath McAloon has the story.
Walking through the meat section at my local market, there's all kinds of products on offer. I'm here to buy beef, but it's not that straightforward.
What about a nice roast beef here tonight?
Once I've made up my mind whether to go for the Wagyu or the Angus, and if I prefer a porterhouse or a piece of rump, I still need to decide on whether I want meat that's come from a cow fed on grain or on grass.
We sell real Angus beef over here, people. It takes a look before you buy.
Per kilo, the grass-fed product is more expensive, by as much as 30%. But more and more, it's what shoppers are going for. A recent survey by Queensland farm lobby group Agforce found a third of consumers prefer the grass-fed product. Butcher Sam Canning sells only organic, free-range and grass-fed meat in his stores.
This is our beef section here. We've got about 12 trays, ranging from steaks to casserole cuts to stir-fry quick-cooking cuts. For me, what I'm looking for in a grass-fed product is consistency. Colour is very important, so we don't want anything that's coming out too dark. If you look at the Scotch fillets there, they're just like the perfect, like light kind of pink colour.
I just noticed when we look into this beef section here, there are tags saying 100% grass-fed. How important is that to your consumers? Do they come in looking for a grass-fed product?
Some of them definitely come in looking for grass-fed. It's definitely, the whole grass-fed thing is becoming much more of a buzzword, I guess you could say, like people are sort of listening out for it.
What do you think has led to that rise in consumption of grass-fed and people wanting a grass-fed product?
I think there's two draw cards for it, and a lot of research just coming out lately that grass-fed beef is better for you, just due to the omega-6, omega-3 ratio, and the fact that it's means it's a free-range product.
What exactly grass-fed means is a little unclear. The Cattle Council of Australia has a certification process for its certified pasture-fed label, and that's been adopted by some meat processors and retailers, but others work to their own standards. To meet Cattle Council standards, animals must have been able to graze pasture their entire life, not have been confined for the purposes of intensive feeding, be traceable through the National Livestock Identification System, and be guaranteed to eat well based on Meat Standards Australia. Butcher Sam Canning sources all his beef from a farm in Tasmania, and he's assured that the cattle have spent their entire life eating grass. But he's not so sure that's the case for all grass-fed beef sold at supermarkets and other butcher stores.
The actual term itself, grass-fed, you could also say that, even if it's been finished on grain. All our beef is completely grass-fed and grass-finished, but we just say grass-fed. But I think with that term, grass-fed, it can actually be majority grass-fed, but grain-finished. So that's probably something that needs to be looked at, because there's a lot of producers out there who, you know, they grow them to a year and a half or a year or whatever on their farm, and then they all go off to a feedlot and get finished for 90 days to get that little bit of marbling on them and to get the last 50 kilos put on them or something before they go to market.
So more customers are wanting a grass-fed product. Are they prepared to pay more for it?
It does cost more to produce because it's slower. Grass-fed beef, typically without like awesome genetics in the bloodlines of the cattle, grass-fed beef doesn't yield as well as grain-fed beef because they can really control the feed with grain. They can make them have bigger eye muscles, you know, in the scotches and the porterhouse and stuff like that. So yeah, grass-fed does cost a little bit more. I guess it always depends on the area that you're in. We're able to achieve the price point that we need to for this kind of beef. It's not cheap. We don't get many complaints about the steak. So yeah.
For Louise Marwini, who farms in the Pentland Hills west of Melbourne, moving into the grass-fed beef business has meant just a minor change to a long family tradition. So what type of cattle have you got here, Lou?
Predominantly Hereford breeders, cowherd, with a few baldies we've retained. So we use mainly Hereford bulls and Angus bulls over the heifers. My grandfather, this is the remnants of his beef herd that he started up, you know, putting together in the early 60s. And we were selling calves at the Ballarat sales, and, you know, some years they did exceptionally well and some years was a lot tougher and we weren't making as much money. It wasn't a very feasible way to stay on, so we looked at other options. And we always butchered and ate our own beasts, and the meat was fantastic, so we thought, well, why not? You know, we used to just sell to our family and or give it to our family, and they said, you should sell this and go on with it. So that's what we've attempted to do.
Pretty much all beef cattle in this part of the country are raised on grass for at least some of their life. But unlike Louise's cows that only eat grass, many cattle finish their life in feedlots where they're fed grain. Louise worked in the feedlot industry years ago, and she says it's a very different production system.
Look, the feedlot industry, obviously you get animals at an entry weight that come in. They have the induction process where they're vaccinated and tagged, processed, weighed, everything, and then they're put onto grain and expected to perform weight gain wise in a shortish period of time. There's a lot of health problems, respiratory problems, and just problems associated with the conditions they're in and the grain that they're eating and the way that their body's processing it.
And the finished product, can you tell the difference when you eat a steak that's come from a grass-fed animal as opposed to an animal that's been finished in a feedlot or finished on grain?
Oh, definitely, yes.
What are those differences?
The fat colour will be more white the more that the animal's been on grain, and it will be a more yellow colour if they're grass-fed. The taste, it's a lot tastier. Grain-fed beef can be bland.
Do you think customers that pay a premium for a grass-fed product, are they getting a significantly different product than something that has been finished in a feedlot?
The way to look at, you know, the decisions you're making and what you're supporting, the type of farming you're supporting, if you're eating grass-fed meat, you're supporting farmers such as us to continue to practice, you know, in a way like this. A lot of people like the fact that the footprint they're leaving behind. I have quite a few customers that were vegetarian. Two customers that were vegan, they've decided they needed to eat meat for their health, but they wanted to make a really conscious decision on where they were getting it from, and that they knew, you know, knew the farmer and knew the system, and that they were happy with that. So there's that side of it as well.
Do you think that grass-fed label is important to your customers?
Look, the grass-fed's very important. I have a lot of customers that are living with a paleo diet, where grass-fed beef, you know, is one of their predominant things. I have quite a few customers that are on a diet that follows their blood group, blood type, and it specifies grass-fed beef, so that's important to them. I have some that just like the taste. They like the fact that they know us, or they can see photos of the cattle, or they can ring up and talk to the farmer, they can ask lots of questions. There's many different reasons why people go down this line, I think.
And that's beef farmer Louise Mawinney speaking with Kath McAloon about what grass-fed means in practice. Now, you can find our special feature on labelling on our website. It looks at organic, grass-fed, biodynamic and free-range. That's at abc.net.au/rural. And while you're at it, I'd love to know if you buy a particular label, whether your knowledge might have been extended a little this morning by our discussion. You can find me on Twitter. Just look for the handle at Edwina Farley.